Like to continue again with the subject that's been before us. Like to turn over to the book of Luke, in the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57. Said, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now that was a pretty bold declaration that this man had, and he said, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to follow you. Now, it is true that just like other areas in life, when we make a commitment to something or someone, we're not always going to know what that entails. So this man came and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus told him, he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, Jesus here was being faithful to people that said, I have an interest in following you, that Jesus was not trying to deceive people. There are a lot of stores and salesmen, they do what they call bait and switch. They put a good advertisement out there, and you think, oh, there's this wonderful deal, and then you go in the store, they baited you with something that looked good, and then when you get in the store, they'll turn it around and switch either something they're selling or they might have only one thing. And they say, well, that's sold, but we have this. The Lord was not trying to deceive people to get more people to follow Him. And that's really what a lot of false religion does. They try to paint a really pretty picture of serving the Lord, and they try to make it all about things that people want anyway, but they don't tell them the whole story. Jesus had enough integrity and trust in us to tell us the truth. If you're going to follow me, be aware that I don't have a house. I don't have a place to call my own. So if you're going to follow me, understand that you're going to have to give some things up. And then another man came and said, or he said to another one, now this time Jesus called him, he said, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I need to go bury my father first. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus was not being hard-hearted here and saying, no, you can't go to the funeral of your father. But it was normally in this culture, it would take, I believe, at least a year or more to take care of the affairs of someone that had died. And so this man was saying, well, Lord, let me first go spend a year or two taking care of this stuff here, and then I'm going to come and follow you. And Jesus said, you know what? Let the dead bury the dead. But if you have a desire to follow me, when do you need to do it? Now. Because what happens is when the Lord calls us to follow Him and we don't do it now, it's harder down the road. And when there are things the Lord talks to us about and He reveals to us and He says, follow me, and we put it off, it gets more and more difficult to obey. Now, there are times, again, the Lord gives all of us room in His dealings. He gives us room. He gives us time to pray and consider and really seek to understand. But there comes a time if we don't submit to the Lord and we just keep, we know what God's will is. I'm not talking about the in-between time when we're seeking. But when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is God's will and it's His will for me today. Now God has a will for you today and He also has a will for you down the road. One of the reasons God does not show us His will for us totally for 5 years from now is because I'd be ready to start doing it now. If the Lord said, okay, Michael, in 5 years I'm going to want you to move here and I'm going to want you to do this and do that, I'd be like, Lord, I'm ready to go now. So that's why the Lord doesn't deal that way. He shows us what to do today, and maybe He starts preparing us for the future, but it's why He doesn't always make His will very clear, because it's not time. But when we know that this is the time, this is what the Lord is saying, that's the time that we need to be obedient. Delayed obedience quickly becomes disobedience. So this man was saying, Lord, I want to go do these other things first. And the Lord said, you know what? If you're going to follow me, I want you to do it now. The Lord is looking for people to follow Him today. And then another said, Lord, I'll follow thee. We We've got three examples here. He said, Lord, I'm going to follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home and at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, again, I don't believe the Lord was saying you can't go say bye, but he was saying, you go and you get entangled again with the things at home, I may never see you again. And if you're going to follow me, I don't want you having one hand on your plow and looking back longingly at the things you have left behind. This has to do with our purpose. The Lord wants us to revitalize our purpose in following Him. The Lord does not want half-hearted soldiers. He doesn't want people half-hearted following Him. Well, this is what I'm doing, so I guess I'll just keep doing it. But wow, I sure wish I could be going back. I wish I could have that back there. I wish I could go back to the way things used to be. Now, that doesn't mean you won't be tempted, okay? But when he said looking backward, that was speaking of a condition of heart. I'm serving the Lord, but my heart is actually back there. What kind of rows will you plow if you're looking backward? Crooked, right? You'll get off real fast. Now, I've never plowed, but I've mowed plenty of lawns in my day. Well, do you know that looking back, you're gonna end up veering? You're gonna end up veering off and not having straight lines. Serving the Lord is the same way. If we are not fixed in serving the Lord, and we are still looking back at the world, we're gonna make some decisions that aren't real good today. So the Lord said, I want you to have a purpose of heart that you're gonna go forward with a determination and follow me. And then I want us to move up a little bit in this ninth chapter to verse 23. Jesus said, and he gave us the condition. We've been talking about that we're called to follow. Jesus said, if any man will come after me. You notice will sometimes gets lost? Yeah, if any man will come after me. No, if any man chooses to come after me. That's what that word will is. That's up to you. If any man purposes in his heart to follow me, let him, what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross how often? Daily. You know, sometimes people want their service to God to be more about a Sunday experience. I can go and I can sing and we can pray and we can hear the preacher and I can go home and I did my duty for the week. I really worked for God. I went to church. No, this is about daily taking up a cross. A cross is suffering. And we live in a generation that does not like to suffer. But if we're going to follow the Lord, we need to have such a purpose that I am not only willing, but I'm going to be obedient. Because the scripture says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall what? Eat the good of the land. You don't eat the good of the land if you're just willing. Okay? Well, I'm really willing to go on a diet. And I'm willing every day. You know what? That's not going to help a lot unless I'm obedient to that diet, right? I am willing to serve the Lord. I've got a good heart. I've got a good heart. I'm willing to serve the Lord. But I've got to be obedient too. So Jesus said, if you're going to follow me and all the things that we've read about in the scripture, what it means to follow Christ the last few weeks, he said, there's going to be a cross that you need to take up. And you're going to have to deny yourself some things. But, and then he went on to say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. Do you know what he was saying here is that if you're in pursuit of your own worldly ends, you can gain some things in this world temporally. He said here, he went on to say, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? One of the other readings says, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So, what are we profited if our pursuits are for the things of this world? The pleasures, the temporal things, and that's our focus in life. What have we gained when it comes to the end and we die? What have we gained? So he's saying, take up your cross now and follow me. But that's the negative side of it. The positive side is if you will lose your life and give it to the Lord, you're going to gain eternal life. And there are a lot of people in eternity tonight, everybody, I will say everybody, that's already gone out into eternity that has not served the Lord is going to wish that they could have come back. I wish I could do it over. I wish. And you know what they tell us this afternoon? They say, it's worth it. I know the struggle's real for the things of this world. It's worth it to take up your cross and follow the Lord. Someone was telling some of us this week about a minister that they had heard about from a friend. Actually, I'll be real specific. He was over at James River. They said the pastor was almost belittling people that were teaching holiness and living without sin, and they were belittling that. Do you know this morning there's going to be a price to pay? There's going to be a price to pay for that because it is worth the cross in this life. It is worth the cross because in the end we're going to gain something forever. So if you're struggling, and sometimes we do, when we struggle, I want to remind us this afternoon that there is a reward for following Jesus. There is a reward for following Him. And we're going to have a purpose. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3. He said, those things that were gain to me, I counted loss for Christ. He said, I count them but dung. In other words, it wasn't worth anything because I wanted to know Him and the power of His resurrection. All right? So the things of this world, I'm going to minimize their value, and I'm going to recognize the things of the Lord are much more valuable. And he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't got it all yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his goal. I'm following Jesus, and I'm going to look around at the things of this life, and I don't want to overvalue them. Okay, we all have to have money to live, right? We have to have jobs, we have to have work, we have to have money, we need a place to, you know, we have a place to live, we need stuff to buy food or get food or grow food. That's part of life. But let's not put so much value on it that it takes away from our service to the Lord. Follow Him. Because what are you going to be profited? People that give their life for material things or for prestige or position in life, at the end, what are they profited? So you got your name in the paper a few more times, you had a few more $1 million than the rest of us. What did it profit you in those, if you had a long life, those 80, those 90 years versus eternity? What do you profit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? We are following Jesus this afternoon for something that is far greater than what this world has to offer. And that is the reason why I'd like us to turn, and this will be our last verse today, but over in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Mark 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever looked around you and you said, Lord, it's almost this, with expectation, it's like, Lord, we've left everything to follow you, so what are you going to do about it, Lord? I mean, where are we at here? And this is what Jesus said. He said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, oh, by the way, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. All right, Peter saying, Lord, we've left everything we had to follow you. And Jesus said, you know what, if you have left, he wasn't talking about separating yourself from his wife or from his children. but it means that they were putting more importance on the things of God than they were family and friends and the things of this life. Now, some people have tried to totally spiritualize this passage. But is it not true? You know, after people get out of high school, and maybe if they go to college, after that, their world starts to shrink usually. It really starts shrinking. And they have a very small circle of, well, this is someone I worked with, and so that's their social circle. You know what? As small as we are as a people, do you know if you all wanted to go to Alabama and were passing through, if you wanted to, you might not want to, but if you wanted to, do you know there are people you could call up and you could spend the night with them? And if you go to Oregon, there are people that you could spend the night with. There are people that would open up their homes. You go to California, there are people that will open up their homes to you. You go to Oklahoma, of course, right? You can go to other states, and there are people that will love you and help you. I could pick up the phone today, and I have not one time in my life asked someone to help me financially. Not one time. I asked the Lord for that. But I know, if not that I would do it, because God's where my trust is. But there are people, there are a lot of people I call up and say, you know what, I'm really struggling, could you help me out? And I believe they'd help me. Now, I do pray God would move on their heart sometimes, but I don't pick up the phone. But the reality is, there are people that love you. There are people that care about you. And he said, if you follow me, there are other Christians that you're not going to just have your physical mother and father. You will have people that are older than you that will be a spiritual mother and father to you. And it's multiplied. So if maybe there's some disseparation because you made a decision to follow the Lord and your mom and dad have kind of rejected you because of that, he's saying, hey, I want you to remember that if you follow me, I'm going to multiply this back to you 100-fold. There are people that will be mothers and fathers to you spiritually. And now not only do I just have 4 children, there are a lot of children I have, people that I can minister to and try to be a father to them. And I can claim them as my children. And I hope they could claim me as their father. Do you know, if you called me up today and said, hey, Michael, we're really struggling, can you help me out? You know what? I would do what I could. There's times I wish I had a whole bank full of money that I could just help people out with all their problems, and I can't. But you know, when someone gets in need that I can help out, I want to do what I can. We want to help each other. That's what Jesus is saying. You've been brought into a family that maybe you gave up your land over here to follow me, but you know, when you go to the next village, there's going to be someone that you can stay with. There's going to be some food that you can walk in the harvest and say, hey, do you mind if I pick some oranges off these trees? And do you mind if I get some corn, pluck some corn up here because I'm hungry? And they say, oh, help yourself. We're all children of God. That's how the Lord wants us to be with one another. We're not talking about a socialist system. We're not talking about, well, we're going to take some of what you have and give to this person. We're talking about what enabled the growth of the early morning church. What enabled, according to some of the historians I have read, what caused the growth of the early morning church almost more than anything was the spirit of love and good deeds. When someone was in need, it was very foreign for people just to willfully help them out. And that's what the Christians did. They just opened up their homes, they opened up their hearts, and the Lord wants us to still do that. But when Peter's saying, Lord, we've left everything, he said, hey, I want to remind you something. He said, I'm going to pay you back. He said, you follow me, and there are houses and lands and 100-fold now in this time. He said, right now. But there's something I want us to conclude with. He said, oh, well, before we conclude, Jesus was, again, faithful to tell the truth, the whole truth. He said, ah, there's going to be some persecutions too. So if you follow me, you're going to be paid back 100-fold with persecutions. So there's going to be people that don't like you when you follow the Lord. And there's going to be some things that you're going to need to give up to follow Him. And there's going to be some persecutions and resentments from people in the world because of the way you're living your life. But Jesus said, in the world to come, there's eternal life. And I just want to remind us this afternoon that if you will follow Jesus, there is an eternal reward. It's going to be worth it. So let's not lose sight of that. The Lord gives us in this life, there's a place of victory. I believe there is a peace that we can have in this life that the world cannot give to us. So that, for no other reason, I'd say it's good to serve the Lord in this life. Even if there was an eternal life, because the Lord's a friend, He's a comforter. And if I'm going to have hard times, which we are going to have, I'd rather have them with God than without Him. But let's not forget eternal life. All of us just have a few short years. And there is something that comes after that, and that is eternal life. So if you will be willing to take up your cross and endure some persecution, Jesus was reminding His people, just like Paul said, I'm pressing for something ahead of me. I'm pressing for something. I haven't attained it yet, but that's my goal, and I'm going to get there. Eternal life is waiting for all of us. I don't want to trade it. What are you willing to trade eternal life for? What are the things you're struggling with? I know you're struggling with something. We all are. What are the things we struggle with sometimes? Is it worth eternal life? If you could have it and just not have to feel guilty anymore and not have to feel convicted anymore. See, guilt comes from feelings. That's why I'm trying to adjust that. It's conviction. Conviction is more than guilt. But if you could just get rid of the conviction, just be able to do it, if it was going to be a detriment to you spiritually down the road, and you would end up losing your soul over that thing eventually because it takes you down the wrong direction, is it going to be worth it? So let's measure our decisions in light of eternity. Lord, I'm going to follow You. But, oh, this cross looks so heavy. But you know what? That cross is going to bridge the gap from the suffering of this world, and it's that cross that's going to bridge the gap to eternal life. That's the bridge, folks. It's the cross. And if we will follow the Lord with the cross, it's going to bridge that gap, and we're going to inherit eternal life. And eternal life, and if you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it a lot, and you're all going to keep hearing as long as I'm here, good Lord willing. And that is that eternal life is more than just something spiritual. Eternal life is we are going to have glorified bodies. We are going to have quality of life. The scripture said there will be a new heaven and a new earth. He's talking about earth means a place of abode, and the aerial heavens are going to be gone, but He has made a new heaven and a new earth for us. And we kind of just term that heaven. When we die, we go to heaven. But that heaven is a new heaven and a new earth. It's a place of living. And I don't know, the mind can't even comprehend the glory of this life, that we won't have any more suffering. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more kind of stressing over if you have enough to pay the bill this month. Thank God for that. No more of that. There'll be no more people problems. No more misunderstandings. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine not having any misunderstandings with anybody ever again? That sounds like heaven, doesn't it? Because this sure isn't heaven on this earth. But the cross is going to take us to a place that there's going to be living. It's living. There's going to be quality of life, and it's going to be wonderful. It's spiritual, but it's also, there's a place of physical things that God has created for us that the mind cannot comprehend. So, we've been called to follow the Lord, and I want to encourage us to remember that there is a reward if we will continue to follow Him, and that reward is going to come in eternal life.